Morning, everyone. Thanks, Nev. Really appreciated what you said. Found it very helpful and a great encouragement. So last year, 2020, we had a theme, and that theme was Psalm 46, verse 10. And it's a very well-known and familiar verse. It says, well, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." That was our theme last year. And this year's theme for us is a verse from the New Testament, and that is Galatians 4, verse 19, which says, "Until Christ is formed in you." Now, both of these themes fit under the heading spiritual formation. That's what this year is about. That's what every year is about. And combining these two verses, I think they actually fit and work really well together. Be still and know that I am God until Christ is formed in you. Now, in line with these verses and this theme, we're all reading a book together called When the Soul Listens. And the subtitle of this book that we're reading together is Finding Rest and Direction in Contemplative Prayer. And so the focus for this year is spiritual formation through contemplation. Or, be still and know that I am God until Christ is formed in you. Or in the language of Ephesians, which is the book we're currently in, put off the old self, be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self. Now, I realize I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, because this theme is only going to be launched on the 7th of February. We're still in the book of Ephesians. We've got two more weeks in Ephesians. This week we're in verses 1 to 9 of chapter 6. And next week, Bruce is going to take us through verses 10 to 20 of chapter 6 with the topic of spiritual warfare. And then we'll be done. And we'll be into a series on spiritual formation. But as I went throughout the week this week, I asked myself a question. What would it look like to share a passage in a contemplative way? And really just pondering that and thinking about that. I think that most of the messages that I share are highly structured, content-driven, and delivery-focused messages. And that comes naturally to me. But with this year's theme in mind, I've been wondering, what would it look like to preach a sermon that's contemplatively focused? And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to attempt to present this passage in a contemplative way. Now, I had a 12-page sermon, and I just threw it in the bin this morning, and I've done this. So bear with me. I felt, in a sense, led to do something a bit different. This doesn't normally happen to me, so I hope it's a helpful thing. So, a contemplative message. Well, I think that three things are needed: detachment, intention, and attention. Detachment, I think, is the principle of unhitching our minds from our usual preoccupations. What are we going to have for lunch after church? Where are we going this afternoon? What's the person next to me thinking? Last week this happened and I can't let it go. Or what's going to happen this week? My to-do list, A, B, C, D, E. Detachment is unhitching our minds from that freight train and stopping, slowing down. Then intention, I think, is about intentionally consenting to God and opening up our hearts, our minds, and just saying, I want to hear God. I want God to work in me today, in this moment. What does God want to do here? That's intention. Our intention is to consent to what God wants to do in our midst. And then, well, so we might say something like, I choose to be present here now. I am still. I'm quietening my spirit. I'm allowing God through Jesus and by the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit to enter and act within me in these moments. And then finally, attention, I think, is about attending to and being present to the word of God right here, right now. So I'm listening, I'm focused, I'm paying attention, or my soul is listening in, leaning in to God's word. So contemplation is detachment, intention, and attention. So to this end, what I'd like to do this morning, it is unusual, but I'd like to spend 1 minute, it's not a long time, 1 minute of us just being silent to detach ourselves from our preoccupations. And then I'll say a one sentence prayer of intention, consenting to God's action here. And then I'll read the passage slowly. And I just want you to listen to the passage. And then I'll repeat that. I'll do it a second time. And then I'll make a few brief comments as the Lord has led me. So, you know, I realize that you might be sitting there going, when I came to church this morning, I didn't sign up for this. Well, guess what? Neither did I. But this is the way that I believe the Holy Spirit has been leading this morning. So, now I just want to say this. It's surprisingly quiet in here, but I am going to say that there are kids here. They'll make a noise. That's fine. When kids make a noise, it's a reminder of God's goodness. It's a reminder of family. It's a reminder of life. That's okay. It's no big deal at all. In fact, silence isn't about making everybody be quiet. Silence is about being quiet. So you can enter silence in New York City, or you can enter silence on the Cape to Cape walk. So it's about an internal attitude and disposition. So I hope that this excites you. Let's just spend a minute detaching. Maybe close your eyes if you're comfortable with that. You don't have to. And then I'll pray and read. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Please give us life according to your word. Amen. Now I'll read Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2, 5 verse 21, and 6 verses 1 to 9. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, or perhaps employees, obey your earthly masters, or perhaps employers, with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, employers, treat your slaves, employees, in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Let's be silent again as we ponder. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Give us life according to your word. The passage again. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Employees, obey your earthly employers with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And employers, treat your employees in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Another minute of silence. I'm going to end our time together now with a few brief comments on this passage. Really, what this comes down to is one word. You know what that word is? Love. It comes down to love. And love is that thing, as it were, which leaves self behind and does good to the other. That's what love is. It leaves the ego behind, the self behind, and it does what is good for the other. And so the question is, children, how best can you love your parents? Children, how can you leave self behind and do good to your parents? And mind you, this passage tells us that in doing that, you'll be doing good to yourself. Maybe that's because your parents love you more than anyone else on earth. Maybe that's because your parents have heaps of life experience and wisdom that you don't yet have. And you can draw on that. Children, let me ask you, and I ask myself, my parents are still around, what would it look like for you to be the kind of child that would make it easy for your parents to love you? What can you do to make it easy for them to do what they're called to do? Now, the other side, parents. Parents, how can you love your children? That is, how can you leave yourself behind and do good to your kids? How can you become the kind of person that your children would want to obey? The kind of person who your children would want to honor in life? Parents, what would it look like for you to stop exasperating your children so that they can trust you? Obviously, I ask myself all those questions as a parent. Employees, how can you best love your employer? That is, how can you on Monday morning walk in and leave yourself behind and do good to your employer and those who you work with? Remember the passage, from your heart for the Lord. From your heart for the Lord. Employees, what would it look like to walk into the workplace tomorrow morning with sincerity and wholeheartedly serve the Lord? We all know you don't have to become a missionary or a minister to serve God full time. We are all serving God full time. whatever we're doing, wherever we are. And we're invited to do that with sincerity from the heart. Employers, how can you best love your employees this week? How can you leave self behind and do good to your employees in the coming week? Remember the scripture. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't favor employers over employees. He doesn't have favorites. And he will reward. Perhaps your employees will get a greater reward than you because they are following the Lord in the workplace and you're not. Hopefully that's not the case. And employers, God is in charge, not you. So you might think that you're the boss, but you have someone to answer to as well. And that is God. And he is inviting us to have a good answer. So, those are my devotional thoughts on this passage. And I find that when we come to passages like this, we tend to do this. Well, maybe I'm speaking for myself. I hope my kids are listening. I wish my parents would pay attention to this. I really wish my boss was here today to hear this. I wish my workers could hear this. I'm going to give them the recording on Monday morning. And I want to encourage you, please don't do that. I want to encourage myself not to do that. The only person who you can change in your life is you. Nobody else. You can't change anybody else. You can only change yourself. And so don't think about how this passage applies to others and how they need to change and obey the passage. Think about how this passage applies to me and how I need to hear what God is saying to me and make some different choices in the weeks ahead. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, give us the serenity to accept the things in our lives that we cannot change. Please give us the courage to change the things that we can. And help us to have the wisdom to know the difference between what we can change and what we can't change. And I pray this in your name, Jesus, and by the power of your Spirit, for we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we ask for your help. Amen. Amen.